ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley here. Next week, we'll return to Daily News, featuring some of the best interviews from across the ABC. And I'll be back on January the 14th with all new episodes of ABC News Daily. This week, we revisit some of our favourite episodes of 2025. And today's episode from August is about immigration, property, and productivity. Australia's productivity may be among the worst in the developed world, but do we even understand the root cause of the problem? We're told boosting it is the only way to improve our living standards, and a summit in Canberra is looking into it. Today, Chief Business Correspondent Ian Verinder on the key factors the experts are not even considering. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Ian, I don't mean to be rude, but when the words economic reform roundtable are mentioned, it's a little hard to get excited, right?
Yes, certainly.
The federal government's three-day economic reform roundtable is underway in Canberra.
Business leaders, politicians and unions are all at the roundtable with a goal to drive productivity and boost living standards.
That expectation that life will get better for each successive generation is Australia's generational bargain. And for many generations, we have fulfilled that promise, until perhaps now.
The message very clearly from Australian businesses at this roundtable will be that we have become a costly, complex and cumbersome economy in which to operate.
Okay, so you're going to actually make this exciting, okay?
Okay.
Because it is an important topic for all of us. It's productivity. But what is that? It should be a simple concept, right? Just explain it.
Well, yeah, look, it is a simple concept. And look, all it is that you have to measure the amount of output over a given period of time using the same amount of input. So when we talk about labour productivity, we're talking about, you know, for example, one person over the course of, say, 15 minutes or an hour, and how much they produce over that period of time. And that can change depending on what kind of machinery you're using, what kind of management practices are in place. You know, I mean, you think about if somebody said to you, hey, Sam, can you go and dig up the MCG for me and here's a shovel? You'd probably come back in about 6 months or a year's time and say, done.
Yes.
But if you got on one of Kerry Stokes' big earth moving things, you'd probably have it done in under a day, you know?
Yeah, of course. So productivity, it's simply making things easier and faster to do, right?
Yeah.
But if you listen to all the economists, they say we've got this huge problem in Australia because we're not very good at it. They say there's a productivity crisis here.
Look, the numbers would indicate that, but this is one of the problems with economists who tend to look at one particular bit of data and isolate that from everything else that's going on in the economy. And they look at it and they go, hey, there's a problem here. Why are we lagging the rest of the world when it comes to this particular issue? And on this one, it's productivity. And there's no doubt the rest of the developed world is doing better than us when it comes to productivity growth. Now, the problem here is there's a whole lot of issues with measuring productivity. You know, the one I just mentioned, that's an easy way of measuring productivity, you know, with digging up the MCG. But what if you're a school teacher? How do you measure productivity there? Do you say, well, why don't we double the size of the class? Instead of teaching 30 kids in the class, why don't we put 60 into your class? Mm. That'll mean you're twice as productive as you used to be. Well, does that mean that you're going to be a better teacher? Does that mean the kids are going to get a better education as a result of that? Probably not. And so when you move away from agriculture, when you move away from manufacturing, when you move away from the things that are very easy to measure your productivity, it becomes harder to measure, obviously. So, and Australia is overwhelmingly what's known as a service-based economy.
Yes.
So most of our employment is in service industries, whether it's teaching, aged care, banking, a whole range of different things, but with all providing services rather than producing widgets.
Yes. Tell me about car washing then. This is a good example just to kind of cement in people's minds productivity.
So there was a time before car washers, the automatic car washers came in 1968, where you either washed your car by hand yourself or you took it to somebody else and paid them to do it. Mm. And suddenly these machines turned up and they were pretty reasonably priced. So it was, you know, instead of taking a couple of hours to wash your car, you could, you know, have it done in about 10 minutes in one of these machines. Not that expensive.
Exactly. And fun for the kids.
Yeah. And so, you know, anybody who was engaged at that stage of earning money out of washing cars by hand basically didn't have a job anymore. And till around about 15 to 20 years ago, probably even a little bit longer, suddenly you see a whole lot of hand wash car washers available. They're, you know, in all the suburbs, they're in the car parks of the big shopping centres, they're everywhere. And you have to ask, well, why is that?
Mm.
And it's because labour seems to have become cheaper relative to what it used to be.
Right.
What we're overlooking, what seems to be verboten in this whole conversation about productivity, is the impact of our immigration policies. You know, we bring in a lot of students into the country, only half of whom are at university. The rest of them are engaged in kind of education things, but really this is just a way of importing very cheap labour, which is a basically negative productivity.
So hand washing cars makes us as a nation less productive, basically.
It does, yeah.
Let's just delve into this a bit further then and why it is that Australia is such a bad productivity performer. As you've said, this is actually really hard to measure. It's almost a case of a chicken and an egg, right? Just explain that as well.
Yeah, well, look, the classical theory about productivity and why we need productivity growth, and you'll hear this from pretty much every economist and right up to the very top of the Reserve Bank, the Governor, Michelle Bullock, will tell you this, that without productivity growth, you're not going to get the kind of profit growth that will enable wages and living standards to rise.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the productivity growth and we all pay ourselves more, that leads to inflation. And so that's why a lot of economists say, well, you have to have productivity growth before you can get decent wages growth and higher living standards. But there's another school of thought, which makes perfectly reasonable sense, is that if you have wages rising, what that does is that gives companies an incentive to look for ways to cut their costs.
Mm.
And if they see a machine that can do the job at a lot more competitive price than a human being, they'll invest the money in the machine and put the machine to work, and the person will then lose their job and have to go and look for some other area to earn a living. So what comes first? Does the productivity drive the wages growth? Or does the wages growth drive the investment into the machinery that leads to greater productivity? And nobody can ever come to that answer. That, you know, it's exactly what you said. What comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, so no one really knows. So productivity gains, they shouldn't just mean or equal profit, right? Although big business probably likes us to think that they're really productive because they're making lots of money.
That's right. So a lot of business people, you know, confuse productivity with profits. And so if they see productivity growth, I'll earn more profit. And there is a relationship there. There's no doubt about it. But productivity is not about earning more money. It's about producing more with the same amount of resources. That's essentially what it's all about. But, you know, here we have a relatively simple concept, but it's very difficult to measure. So do we even have a problem?
All right. Well, Ian, what else should we be looking to explain why our productivity is among the worst in the Western world? Part of it is we don't make anything here anymore much.
Yeah, well, look, if we're unique in the developed world with our productivity and it's so low, what differentiates us from the rest of the developed world? What are the factors here that aren't really experienced elsewhere? Number one is we have an extraordinarily small manufacturing sector. And you can extract productivity gains in manufacturing by investing in better machinery. And Professor Roy Green from the University of Technology in Sydney, you know, says there's almost a complete correlation between the decline of our manufacturing industries and the drop-off in our productivity growth.
Right. So there's a lack of manufacturing. You also mentioned previously when we were talking about the car washing, population and importing, I guess, cheap workers. And there's another P as well, isn't there? Property.
That's right. The amount of money that Australians invest in property is, well, it's, on a per capita basis, we're almost the gold medalist when it comes to indebtedness over real estate. You know, the size of our mortgage market is about, $2.3 trillion. You know, it's an extraordinary amount of money, and we have tax policies in place that direct money into housing, which really doesn't produce anything. I mean, it just puts a roof over your head. So instead of directing that money into productive enterprises, we're putting it into housing to keep the wind and rain off us.
All right. Well, Ian, they're all the reasons why we're not very good at productivity in this country. And there are a lot of people that are pretty concerned about that. So let's unpack whether we actually should be really worried or not. The Productivity Commissioner, Danielle Wood, she was at the press club this week and she'll be sitting around that round table. She says that we can't improve our lives, we can't have better lives if we don't boost productivity.
Productivity growth is the only way to sustainably lift wages and opportunities over time. Productivity growth helps us build things better and faster, a must if we are to deliver the well-located homes, clean energy and digital infrastructure we will need to future-proof our economy. Productivity growth can help us square the circle on ever-growing care demands with limited budget headroom. And finally, productivity growth gives us more opportunities to respond to whatever challenges the world throws our way.
It's at the heart of our living standards. So is she right when she says that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the theory. That's the whole economic theory. But, you know, she's the head of the Productivity Commission. She's fairly new to the job. The Productivity Commission has been around a long time. If there was an easy fix to our productivity problem, they would have come up with it decades ago.
Yeah.
And look, they did put out a huge research paper just a couple of years ago about how to fix our productivity problem. It ran to around about more than 1,000 pages, and it was in something like 9 volumes. So it's not a, here's what you've got to do. There's no easy fix to this. And ultimately, no one's got any idea what to do about it at all. And meanwhile, the business community comes up with every problem that ever exists. It's, well, cut the corporate tax rate and let's get rid of red tape.
Okay, and what else? I mean, there's other ideas too coming out of this round table. There's furious debate. You know, you mentioned the corporate tax rate, increasing the GST, the 4-day work week. There's a lot of ideas floating around at this point.
There are. And look, it's a good thing that people are actually getting together and trying to talk this out. You know, you've got to be very careful when you just make blanket statements about let's get rid of red tape. I mean, red tape often is regulations, and regulations very often are put in place for very good reasons. You know, we have, you know, speed limits on the roads, for instance. That's a regulation. I mean, I'm pretty sure most of us would like those to remain in place. There are a lot of regulations, I guess, that could be streamlined. You have that overlay of state, federal and local government. You've got to go through 3 sets of hoops to get something done sometimes. So there's a lot of areas where we could be better at our regulatory processes. There's a whole lot of areas around tax where we could, for instance, capital gains tax discounts, perhaps look at the money that's in superannuation and the tax benefits that are handed out to people who are very wealthy. There's a whole lot of areas where we can reform tax in a way that actually promotes investment to try and address this problem.
All right. Well, in the end, Ian, what do you think? Is this a crisis? And what happens if we can't fix it?
Well, look at it from another perspective, okay? So the amount of immigration that we've had over the past 15 to 20 years particularly, and it did jump drastically after 2005, 2006, what that did was it helped keep Australia growing, because the more people you have in an economy, the more growth you get. So everyone was celebrating the fact that we had a miracle economy because we had all this massive population growth. And that kept us out of a recession. But now, when you look at it, well, that came at the expense of productivity. You could fix the productivity crisis and then create a problem elsewhere in the economy. But look, it's worth having a look at this. It's worth trying to figure out what the problem is and how to fix it. But there is just no easy solution, because we can't get our head around exactly what the problem is.
All right. Well, Ian, thank you very much for making that far more interesting than I thought it would be.
Thanks, Sam.
I spoke with the ABC's chief business correspondent, Ian Verinder, in August. Please tell your friends about ABC News Daily and find all our past episodes on the ABC Listen app.